This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
It's time for your WrestleMania Night 1 review, and I've got somebody very special with me. You guys have heard her before, but this is different because we have somebody who attended live in person in Philadelphia last night at the Lincoln Financial Center, and we have Chrissy back with us. And she attended last night in person with her son, and I'm very jealous, although we heard how cold it was about 48 times throughout the show from the announcers, and we'll find out if that actually verified to be super cold or not. And but before we get into details and specifics, Chrissy, welcome to the show, and how are you feeling right now?
Hi, Matt. I'm so glad to be back. I don't even have the words to describe how I feel. I'm tired, but I was so overwhelmed, but I'm also so grateful to have experienced that. This was definitely a once in a lifetime moment, something that was on my bucket list. And to be able to experience this with my son was just so rewarding on top of that, because I've been a fan since I was his age. So it was mind blowing. It felt like, going to Disney World times 500.
I bet. I mean, I have been to a few, but as we talk quickly off the air, it does drain you mentally and physically. And I'm glad that they've, in a way that they have, split this into two nights, because could you imagine sitting there for, another 4 hours for a show? I mean, yeah.
Not at all. And I've only done Raw, SmackDown, and then some house shows. I've never done a PLE, so I can't compare this to any other, PLE, but so this was my first really big show, and for the fact that it was WrestleMania 40 was huge. So yeah, I cannot imagine if this was another 4 hours. I don't think the crowd would, people would have left, I think. Just based on how everyone was behaving throughout the night, I think people would have left if it would have went on another 4 hours.
Well, then that leads me to my next question, is because there's so much criticism online about the crowd in Philly, that you guys were quiet and that there outside of some huge moments, obviously The Rock, and during that match, you guys were loud and you heard the R-Truth pop. It came across really nicely on TV, but there were a lot of moments that it felt very quiet. And to be fair, there may be some legitimate reasons. There's no roof, so a lot of sound escapes into the heavens. Also, it's cold, and people aren't really motivated to yell and scream as much when it's as chilly as they say it was. So did you feel that same way in person, that, wow, this isn't as loud as I expected? Or do you feel like, no, we were yelling and screaming, and it just didn't translate on TV?
No, I 1000% was so shocked by how quiet it was. There were moments where, I was wanting to yell and scream, but it felt uncomfortable because everyone else was so quiet. But then there were moments where we were definitely really loud, and I was wondering, I wonder if this is coming across on the screen, certain matches. But there were matches where the ladies match with Bianca and Jay and Naomi, it was so quiet. And that was a match I was really looking forward to. And then in my section, there was, a few other women, and we were excited and we were hyped, but no one else was. So it kind of made us want to sink into ourselves. I'm like, okay, no one else is screaming but us. Let's just sit down now. But yeah, I would say I expected the audience and it to be loud. I was almost like, should I get Cortland headphones? Like, that's how loud I thought it was going to be. And it was not.
Wow.
There were definitely moments, but for the bulk of the show, it was very quiet. And even I'm sure I pissed off some people behind me, but I was standing. There was moments where I'm like, this is, you need to be standing. Why are there only a handful of people standing in my little section, which I was in section M, which is kind of club level section. So it was a smaller section, but I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as hype as it was. And granted, it was cold, and I'm from Tennessee. I'm not from Florida part of stuff. I know what cold is. So we expected it. We were layered. I think I got a little bit of wind burn on my nose. I feel like my nose was sunburned this morning just from the wind. So it was cold, but I kept thinking we were at WrestleMania. stand up. Honestly, it made me warmer from like standing up and shouting. I'm like, this is helping me stay warm. I was quite surprised by how quiet the crowd was. Grant, like I said, there were moments, but it was significantly quieter than I expected.
It really was. And there were certain moments, especially, and we'll get into Jimmy and Jay, which was to me a massive disappointment. And that was the crowd, I don't think, knew what to do with that match. And like you said, with the women as well, and we'll go match by match in a moment. But I think as you're telling me this, it did seem as cold as they were telling us, even though they said it was 50 degrees, 52 degrees. It was like we were getting a weather update from Michael Cole every 15 minutes. And I mean, seriously, it was ridiculous. But as I'm sitting there going, it's 52 degrees, but wind does make a massive difference. And perhaps that is a contributing factor with people being a little bit more subdued. And like you said, if you're sitting there, you feel the urge to yell and scream and make noise as you should and feel the right to do at a WrestleMania event. If you have the rest of your section sitting there, you feel a little awkward if you're the only one yelling and screaming. So it's kind of one of those deals where, well, I don't want to be the weird person. And, you know, even though it's WrestleMania, it's weird that you have to feel that way. So I think that sound, from what you're telling me, the weather actually did play a pretty big factor in people not being yelling and jumping like they normally would be.
100%. And it was so funny because obviously we couldn't hear what Michael Cole was saying, but we could see on the screen that they kept popping up the temperature. And it was like 52. And I'm like, this feels like 30. Like, this does not feel like 52. 52 is pleasant. The wind made it feel like it was 30 something degrees. But I 100% agree that your section kind of depends on it, because there was a section over from us and I was like, I want to be with them. Sitting over there, they were getting into it.
I always have to ask this too, just quickly, demographic wise, young, old, I'm guessing family, probably a whole mix of people, or did you see a pattern of certain types of people that were there?
It was definitely a good mix. I would say in our section, Cortland was one of the, I think there was maybe four other kids. So there wasn't a lot of children in our section, but I think it was definitely a good crowd, obviously predominantly male audience, which from a woman having to go to the bathroom, like, I love these type of events because there's no line for the women's bathroom. Definitely more men there. So I was like going straight to the bathroom, whereas Cortland had to wait in line for a minute. But yeah, definitely a good mixture. I would say I didn't see as many kids as I thought I would see compared to like when I went to Raw a few months ago back in August. There was not as many kids here. And I'm wondering if maybe the weather played into that, or even, you know, the fact that I do feel like we're gearing more towards TV-14. I'm wondering if that's kind of changing the landscape of, I can't bring my kids to the show if they're also going to drop a few F-bombs. Mm-hmm. But I think the demographic was probably a really good mixture.
Good. Good. Yeah. It seemed that way from what I saw on camera, but every time they pan in, especially people close to the ring, it's just predominantly male, which has been WWE's core audience since the inception of time. I mean, that's generally who they've catered to, but they've brought in a lot of women over the last several years, which has been great. The Uprising, the Women's Evolution and Revolution, which has been a big deal and a big reason why a lot of the women have started to become attracted to the sport. But let's get into the matches themselves. I have so many little questions to ask. The final one I'll ask, because if I forget, I'll be really angry. Did I actually hear some boos for Cody Rhodes? Was that real?
Okay. Matt, I was in heaven. I was so shocked by that because it was a significant amount. And it was at the beginning. It started early when they were showing clips of Cody. There were boos. And I was like, is this happening? I thought, you know, you and I and our feelings for Cody, I'm like, I thought we were the minority here.
Right.
But there was definitely some boos for Cody. Obviously, the cheers kind of overpowered the boos, but there were boos there. And I was like very shocked by that.
Okay. That makes me very warm and fuzzy inside for all the cold weather. it warms my soul. I feel validated now. And do I think it's going to be a pattern? Probably not. But at least for one night, I'm like, is this in my mind? Am I actually hearing this? Or is it just, you know, the wind? Is it so good? I'm glad. And we'll dive into that a little more. But let's get to the matches just in the interest of time here. We got Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Well, Triple H opening the show, and he didn't say much. But it was cool to see him, and he just basically said, thank you, welcome to WrestleMania. So any comments on Triple H's entrance?
Triple H, he's also one of those where he is one of my favorites growing up, and to the point where, like, one of my birthday gifts was his documentary where it was on DVDs. Like, that's how old I am. Like, that was a birthday present from my mom to me, so I love Triple H. And it was so funny on, as you know, we were getting ready for the show, my son and I, we were listening to entrance music and his came on and I was like, oh, we won't hear that tonight. That'll be sad, but oh well. So when his music cued, I was like, what? I did not expect it. It was very good to see him live. I didn't think I was going to, but it was quick, short, but it was really good to hear his music and to see him.
And I think this will be known as the Triple H era. It does seem to be landing on that, you know, but at times, sometimes you don't know what era you're in until after it's passed. And then you name it. When you're in the era, typically you don't have a name for it. So I do think eventually this will be looked back on as the Triple H era. And he has done an amazing job. And the crowd seems to really be taking to him. And it was, I'm imagining it's pretty cool to see him, even though he didn't obviously compete or have any kind of significant role, but just to see him, hear that entrance music is nostalgic. It brings a WrestleMania feel right off the bat. So yeah, that must have been a cool moment for sure. But let's get into the matches themselves. And Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch open the show. And you know, we got a narrative from Cole telling us that Becky was actually battling strep throat all week. She had 102 fever, which I mean, that I don't care who you are, that's a terrible thing to have to deal with if you're trying to wrestle. So you know, props to Becky Lynch for being a trooper on that one. She didn't look sick, but boy, oh boy, if that's true, that's tough to deal with. But Rhea Ripley gets her own entrance music with the band playing her music. She's got now extensions in her hair, changing up her look. I like it. And this match, of course, as we know, ends with Rhea Ripley beating Becky Lynch in about 17 minutes. I'll toss it to you for thoughts.
Can I say it was shocking to me because, you know, with this match, I knew that Rhea was going to be over. I didn't expect Becky boos. But at the very beginning, as they were playing just like clips of, you know, what was to be expected, what was the card for the night, the people were booing Becky. And even the woman sitting next to me, we were both like, oh, are people booing Becky? Like, we didn't expect that. So Mommy is definitely 100% over. She had a huge pop. Everyone was so excited. They put on a really, really good match. I would have known Becky was sick. Like, I couldn't hear what Michael Cole was saying, so I didn't even know that. You wouldn't have known based on her performance. There were definitely moments where I thought Rhea was going to lose and I was going to lose my mind if she did. So they definitely put on a wonderful match. It was a great way to open up the show. I was so excited to see Rhea live, and it was definitely exceeded my expectations for sure.
I would agree.
I kind of went in a little bit low. Yeah. I didn't have super high expectations at the beginning when this match was officially announced, but I feel like as the weeks have progressed, the ladies did a really good job in the storytelling and kind of pulling me in to their match more than I was in the beginning. So I went in very happy with the match when I initially thought I wasn't going to be.
That's how I felt going in. I mean, originally when they announced it, I'm like, eh, like it should have been to me Bianca in that spot. You know, of course they can get to that at another WrestleMania, but I was a bit kind of ho-hum about it. And really, it didn't get me excited until, like you said, kind of like the last few weeks where they ramped it up. They waited till the 11th hour to make us really care, and they did a good job. And this match, I think, delivered beyond what the build was, which is always a good thing. And you know, some of the near falls were believable. When Rhea was nearly manhandle slammed off the second rope, I said, if she hits this, it could really be over. She hit the manhandle slam once. You knew that at WrestleMania, there's going to be kickouts of finishers all over the place. So you're thinking everyone's got to be hit with a finisher at least twice to believe that it could be over. But in this case, you know, with Rhea Ripley on just really is still a rising star, you kind of knew that Rhea Ripley was going to retain here. It doesn't make sense for Becky Lynch to take the belt yet because Rhea's still on the rise. You'd be cutting her off at the pass. I don't think you'd see a full give her the full run that she deserves. And the crowd, as you said, I mean, it came across on TV. It wasn't totally anti-Becky, but you could audibly hear those boos. And Rhea Ripley was easily the one that was over here. It was the right call. I don't think there was any need to take the belt off of Rhea. And it very much felt like also kind of like a goodbye match for Becky for a little while. It felt like she, after this match, could be taking time off. They zoomed in on her face, and her face said a whole lot about her, like just the way she looked. It looked like she was about to say goodbye for a little while. I could be totally wrong, but it would be a match in which you would have that person lose and take some time off. And I think her character does need a little bit of time off, some recharge, some rethinking, a little repackaging upon her return, because the fans have started to a little bit organically turn on her, and I don't know if that's what they want.
That was my thought too when they zoomed in on her face. I thought, I was like, was this the goodbye match? Is she retiring? It felt as if she was going to be leaving for a while. And just based on the fact that the crowd was booing her, I think you're right. I think she needs to to take a break and then come back maybe with something new, and we'll see how the fans react to that.
Well, we got our next match here in the Judgment Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor versus DIY, New Day, Awesome Truth, A-Town Down Under, New Catch Republic, and that was a six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Titles, but I was under the impression, and a lot of people were right, I was wrong, I thought it was just going to be for the Undisputed Tag Titles. Apparently, they split the titles, and it's no longer a unified belt, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it wasn't really clear that that was going to be the case until they actually put the belts up, and I'm like, oh yeah, definitely, they're splitting them again. That's fine. This match scared me from the get-go that it was going to be something that, I mean, seriously, I was waiting for the referees to put the X sign up. I was waiting, you know, just, I was very concerned actually for the health and safety of the wrestlers in here, because you knew it was going to be a car crash. You knew that they were going to take insane risks. That ladder that I'm sure you guys saw too, when they kept climbing up the ladder that was like buckling and it was breaking at the leg, I'm thinking there, oh my God, like, and there were times that they nearly injured themselves because they weren't replacing the ladder, and they finally did. And it ends up, of course, as we know, A-Town Down Under wins the SmackDown Tag Team titles. And boy, oh boy, there was nobody over more than R-Truth. And he finally gets his moment at 52 years old, winning the Raw Tag Team titles. What did you think?
This match, honestly, okay, that makes me feel better, because I was going to ask you, did I miss an announcement about the belts being separate? Because when it started, we honestly, when Austin Theory and Grayson Waller got the belt, I thought, are they not ringing the bells? Like, everyone around me was confused. I was like, oh, okay, I guess they're separating the titles. And I was like, did I miss an announcement about that? So, because when they won the belts, everyone booed like crazy. But I think it's because we all thought it was over. I thought we all thought, crap, we wanted Truth to win. So that was a pleasant surprise and kind of confusing. This match was hard to watch live. I was on the edge of my seat. I had the same reaction you did. I was just waiting for someone to get hurt. Not only that, but I didn't know where I was looking. Our seats, we weren't on the floor. We had decent seats. I couldn't see what I was looking at. To the point where I forgot New Day was there until I think they had a big moment at some point. And I was like, oh yeah, New Day is there. Like, it was hard to watch live. I want to go back and watch it, because I felt like I didn't really get to experience what was happening, because I was like, what am I looking at? Who's there? Just like looking all over the place. But Truth was 1,000% over. I mean, people were on their feet for Truth, and everyone was yelling. I don't know if you heard it, but there was like a "We Want Truth" chant. And I think we genuinely wanted him to be the one to like climb up the ladder and get the belt. I think at one point Miz was getting to, and I was like, I mean, obviously I want him to win, but I want R-Truth to have that moment of him climbing up the ladder and grabbing the belt. So when that finally happened, I mean, we were all just like so happy for him. It's just, he is like, I'm like, Truth for president. Everyone loves Truth. If you doesn't, something's wrong with you.
And how did you laugh when he thought it was a tag team match? I was laughing.
Gosh, all of us were laughing. We were dying. Did he pin someone at one point? Like,
he tried to go for a pin, and Miz is like, no, you got to go up. Yeah.
Everyone was laughing. He's just such a wonderful character. And I feel like he really does bring people together. Like, it was just such a unified experience of, we all wanted Truth to win in that moment.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, there is something wrong with, you should see a psychologist if you have no, if you don't love Truth. I mean, you have something diagnosably wrong with you, because he is just, he's such a, like you said, he's a pleasant character, but he's also a guy that you love and actually are rooting for, not in a laughing at him way, but laugh with him. You love the fact that he's kind of detached from reality, but he does it in a way that makes it so sincere and genuine. It's just this combination of personality traits that's really hard to pull off in a way that's believable. And he's just, I love it. Now, how long I think this tag title run is going to go? Probably not more than a few months, but that's fine. Truth got his moment, and that's what I was hoping for here. 52 years old, and he finally gets that moment at WrestleMania, and I couldn't be happier for him. Yeah, I mean, The Miz, fine, but R-Truth, it was all about R-Truth here. Yes, you have A-Town Down Under, and they're a team that I think has a lot more to really prove than R-Truth and The Miz, but for me, this was all about Truth and The Miz here, and it's just a feel-good moment that the show needed at this point.
It really was, and the fact that he's 52, the man in the ring, he is a phenomenal athlete. You would not know this man was 52 years old when you watch him, and there was just so many moments throughout that match where, like, I was saying that. I was waiting for the X symbol. I was on the edge of my seat. There was moments where you were like, you could feel the pain. You were like, oh gosh, this guy looks like it hurt. But it was a really good match. It was just hard to watch live. And that may just be where our seats were. But I didn't, there was that moment where I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I've said this in my previous show. Like, how do you call this match? I mean, like, if you're the announcers, there's just too much going on. I can't remember a ladder match that had 12 guys in it or 12 women, anybody. I mean, that's just half of a Royal Rumble nearly in a ladder match. And it's just you can't possibly keep up with all the action. I thought that there really is. Just let's be honest. There's too many teams in that match. I would cut it by half. And even that would be a handful. But fine. Everybody gets a chance at WrestleMania. I have no problem with that. It's just hard, like you said, hard to digest because there's this and that and this going on. And you're, like you said, you're waiting for somebody, unfortunately, to get injured. I haven't heard any injuries coming out of it, which is good. But still, it's simply too many people. That's all there is to it. But still fun. Still some good moments. Honestly, I have no issue with the SmackDown tag titles going to the heel team of A-Town Down Under and the other team balancing out with Awesome Truth. Now it's just a matter of Judgment Day has a big problem, and I think the cracks are going to continue to form over the next several weeks, eventually leading to a total split of the Judgment Day. I mean, that to me is what's coming. But all right, speaking of which, though, on to the next match here, Dominic and Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio and Andrade. This ends with Dom and Santos getting the victory in about 11 minutes, but it was two masked men that I was looking at going, well, who the hell are these people? It seemed extremely random. And if you if you don't know who Jason Kelsey is or Travis Kelsey, obviously Taylor Swift and that whole thing, I mean, then you probably had no clue about this, but most people had an idea of who Jason Kelsey is. And it just seemed really random. I didn't understand the need to bring these two in. And I actually thought that Santos and Dom and Santos needed the victory much more than Rey and Andrade did. It was okay, but for me, it's just kind of a question mark on this one. How about you?
This match, I have to be 100% transparent with you. Like, when I looked at the card, I was like, we have to pick a bathroom break match. And it had to be that one, unfortunately. So we caught the tail end of what was happening with Kelsey coming out, but I didn't see any of this match. I felt awful, but it was a long show, and I was like, okay, which of these matches will we need to get up and, you know, walk around? We wanted to go to the merch store. When we first got there, the lines were ridiculous. I was like, we're going to have to go during a match, and that was that match, unfortunately, so I'll have to watch it on Peacock later. Because I completely missed it. I didn't even get to see the entrances.
It felt like a SmackDown match. It just felt like a quality now SmackDown. Yeah, no, it was fine. It's only 11 minutes, so nothing really any longer you'd see than on SmackDown. It's just I didn't understand the finish of why Rey needed to win. He already beat his son last year. You'd figure they'd kind of even it out with his son's team getting a victory this year. But it was all about Jason Kelsey at the end, and I don't know. I'd agree that this wasn't a bad one to take your bathroom break on. I totally would have done the same thing. You got to pick your spots. You got to go at some point. I mean, you can't hold it the whole time. So
exactly. Yeah. That was it.
No, I'm with you.
I'll watch it back and I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But this next match, honestly, probably didn't. I mean, again, maybe you have an opposing opinion and that's fine. But I was very disappointed in Jay versus Jimmy, considering how just awesome these two are. I really was disappointed in the quality of this match. It was I thought it was going to be super kick heavy. It seemed like they didn't do anything other than super kicks, which was. To me, I got to go back and count. I should have done a counter because it had to have been over 20 collectively, well over 20, which is absurd.
Absurd. I was going to say, did you count? Because it was absurd. Honestly, this match, this was probably the most disappointing match of the night for me because I did have high expectations for this match. I walked in thinking, I bet they're going to steal the show because they are so good in the ring. And their buildup, like the video that they played with videos of them as kids, it was so good. And Jay is so over right now. I've heard Yeet in the airport. I heard Yeet at WWE World. Yeet's chants were going on while we were waiting for the gates to open. All 72,000 people in the crowd were standing with their hands going back and forth when his entrance came out. He is so over right now that I remember you said that you had thought that this was below him. And It was. Mm-hmm. Once the match actually happened, I was like, I hope this doesn't push him down because he is so over right now. But I know the quality of a match he can put on. Like, his IC title match was 1,000 times better than this. Like, where was that, Jay? That was the Jay that we needed, and we didn't get it. The super kicks were so obnoxious. I'm like, Shawn Michaels did not come in on a zip line for the super kick to be disrespected.
Right.
Like, yeah. He didn't end Ric Flair's career, and I'll put end in quotation marks because he doesn't know how to quit. He didn't end Ric Flair with that amazing super kick for it to be treated this way. I was so sad for this match because I really expected more. I hope this doesn't push Jay back down because he is over. Like, the crowd 1,000% is behind him. And I hope this ends this bloodline chapter with him. I hope he goes on and does better things because this pulled him back 5 steps easily.
It's very weird that you have two guys who have been together since birth that have no chemistry in the ring. Now, to be fair, they also have been a tag team almost their entire career, and they've been partners, not opponents. So there is a little bit of that, but my God, I mean, it's like they were a parody of the match. Like, if I was to create a parody of the match, it would be super kick, super kick, super kick. It'd be just trying to, like, obviously overplay the super kick, and the pacing of the match was weird. There were awkward pauses on top of it. It's like they suddenly became amateurs. It was very bizarre. It was uncomfortable to watch. Even the crowd at some points it just sounded like dead silence. The crowd just, I don't know what to do here. And, you know, I know what they were trying to go for, but on top of the overuse of super kicks, it's not like they were even selling them. I mean, they weren't it's almost as if they didn't get hit. I mean, imagine somebody actually kicking you in the face. You'd be down. It's a knockout shot, which is why Shawn Michaels used it for his whole career, because it's a very believable finish. And, you know, it's been overused throughout the years, but this was absolutely egregious to the point where I just go, this is actually embarrassing to watch. Because, and I hate to say that with these two guys, but I'm like, if I had somebody sitting with me, a friend watching this with me, I'd be like, can we just do something else right now for the next 10 minutes? It was an embarrassing match. And I hate saying that, but they can move on. They'll both, I think, be fine, but they need to just move on quickly from this and move on to new opponents and not each other. This needs to end immediately.
1,000%. I was wondering if the no sales came across the way, because in person, it was like, okay, come on. It was like you said, it was embarrassing. It was just so disappointing because I love both of them. I think they're so talented, but it did not come across on this match. And it makes me sad because I feel like this was probably a match of a lifetime. This was definitely something that I'm sure as kids they dreamed about. And I don't think they fulfilled anyone's dreams, certainly not mine.
No, they didn't. They made mine into a nightmare. To pun a phrase from Cody Rhodes, they turned my dream into a nightmare because this was just bad. It was startlingly bad, and I really wish that they would have not done this, because I mean I was advocating for Jay, as you said, for the Intercontinental title. I think he was still, even though Sammy won, we'll get there, I still believe that Jay is a better candidate for the IC title. He was on the ascent all year. Fans have gotten behind him. He truly felt like a main event, and Sammy kind of came out of nowhere and was on this like re-emergence journey that the fans were like, we kind of want Chad Gable or Jay, and Jay went into Jimmy, and I don't know. It did feel below Jay, and it was below Jay, and I don't think it helped anyone. Both men were hurt by this match, but there's obviously their name value, and the fans forget quickly. They'll be able to repair themselves, but I just would not recommend anyone rewatching this match back. There may be a few people out there that enjoyed this, but the crowd didn't like it. I think most people online were like, wow, that was just almost impossible to believe that the talent that was in this match put on something that bad. But all right. Any final thoughts on Jimmy, Jay?
No, I definitely want to erase that from
the movie. Yeah, please. But, you know, the one thing I also wanted to mention, non-wrestling related, that Samantha Irvin did, introducing Lil Wayne as, quote, the greatest rapper of all time. I'd never heard that before. And also Lil Wayne, like, performed, like, 5 lines. And I'm like, well, what? Lil Wayne did. I'm sitting there going, okay, here's the thing that you don't do. You don't claim somebody's the greatest of all time, because that's extremely subjective. Fans decide that. But also, you don't say someone's the greatest of all time and then have them come out there and embarrass themselves 30 seconds later. It just, I mean, because I don't know what. I was just like, what's happening?
I was like, did it get cut? Because, like, I remember, you know, he was like, I'm performing. And I'm like, where?
Yeah.
Like that, I was expecting like a little bit of a song, but that was nothing. And I was like, and it sounded really bad. And I like Lil Wayne. Like, I grew up with Lil Wayne and I like him. So I was excited for this. I popped, I stood up, and I quickly sat down. That's how fast it was.
Like, I go, did he forget his lines? Was this supposed to be longer? What's happening? And he didn't even sound good. And I'm like, yeah. So I was like, maybe in person this came across better, but at home, I'm very confused. Like, what is going on? And then it kind of led perfectly into the Jimmy Uso match, because that happened right before. It was a foreshadowing of that match. Because, I mean, it really was. I mean, again, and I like Lil Wayne too, but that was just like, what is happening? So, right.
It was not better in person.
Okay, good. Well, the cloud lifted a little bit here as we get into the 6-woman tag team match of Bianca, Jade, and Naomi versus Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. Now, there was no doubt about the finish of this match. I would have bet my house on who was going to win this, and it turned out to be the right choice. But the entrance of these three women, Jade and Naomi and Bianca, that was a pretty cool entrance, you know, with their stances and the costumes they had on. It was pretty cool, cinematic. The only problem I had with it was, well, you know, I wish they had given them individual entrances, because I think that would have been a better idea than putting those three together. Again, that's a subjective choice, but I would have liked, especially with Jade getting her own entrance, Naomi getting her own entrance, instead of just three come out at once and then they just come down to Bianca's music. But what did you think?
It was hard for me to see the entrance where we were sitting, so I didn't really get to see the impact of it until I saw it on social media afterwards. And I was like, oh, that was really cool. I hate that I couldn't see it as well. But I was very excited for this match. I will tell you, the crowd was 1,000% dead. And I could kind of tell that, like, after, you know, at the beginning of this match, that it felt like this was the match of, like, people were starting to get tired and a little bit drained, and the temperature was slowly going down even more. And I could tell that, but I was excited for this match. Even though I was one of the few people who was standing and yelling during this match, I wanted to be able to actually enjoy it. So I did. I didn't care if people were staring.
No, good for you. You know, at some point you just have to say the hell with it, because, you know, like, you'll never meet these people again, ever. You've spent your hard-earned money and your time dedicated, maybe even take time off work. A lot of people have, you know, you're going with your son, and you got to just say the hell with it and just put that aside and just do what you need to do and scream and yell as respectfully as you can. Because, I mean, I'm not all for, some people think that it's just like a free pass to do anything and say anything. I don't believe that, you know, but yeah, I mean, I'm glad you did that, because this was a match that I'm surprised it was as quiet as it was. But I also was waiting for the big Jade Cargill pop. And she did get a pretty big pop when she was finally tagged in. Hitting a choke slam was pretty cool. She hit the choke slam pretty well. I was thinking, whoa, that's her finish now. I think that should actually be her finish instead of the Widow's Peak. But that's my opinion. But I think she looked pretty good. I didn't see a massive sample size from Jade Cargill. But did the crowd at least seemingly come alive finally when Jade Cargill got in the match? It seemed that way.
Yeah, it certainly did. And there was definitely a "We Want Jay" chant that was happening. And when she finally got in the ring, there was definitely a pop. I will say, you know, she looks phenomenal. Bianca is one of those, I forget about how good Bianca is in the ring. She is a athlete. Like, she looks really good live watching her in the ring. I think because which I like Bianca, but I think her character, there's something about Bianca that I'm not drawn to. But then when I see her in the ring, I'm like, oh yeah, I forget how good you are. I think it's like her entrance and the hair,
yes.
Something about it where I just kind of look past her until I see her in the ring. And then I'm like, oh yeah, you are a beast. She's good. I felt like, and maybe I missed something, but I felt like Naomi was underwhelmed in this. Unless there were some moments that I missed, I felt like this was definitely all about Bianca Belair and Jade. I felt like they put on a really good show. I feel like there was moments where I kind of forgot Naomi was there. Which makes me a little sad, because I do like all three of them, but Bianca is amazing, amazing live. Maybe I'm not drawn to Bianca because I'm not a 12-year-old girl, and I'm a grown woman, and I kind of want to see her as a grown woman, which is, I feel like, what Jay gives me.
Yes.
Jay gives me that same athleticism, that same look that Bianca has, except Jay is a woman and not a little girl. And I feel like Bianca leans towards the little girl. And I'm not a Bianca hater. I literally, like, when she steps in the ring, I was like, wow, she is good. Like, that was my reaction seeing her live.
Her entrance, Bianca's entrance, and her in-ring work are completely diametrically opposed, because you have, like you mentioned it, you said it, she comes out like a 12-year-old girl skipping to the schoolyard. I hate it, because it doesn't reflect what she's capable of in the ring. I mean, she is a badass in the ring, and she comes out twirling her hair. And I know that she does appeal to the younger audience, and I'm sure she does. She, you know, the younger girls do draw to her, and I understand that. But as a grown fan like yourself, I look at this, I'm like, and she's twirling her hair on the way down the ring, and even twirling her hair when she was being brought up and the or brought down from the entrance with Jade and Naomi. And I'm like, stop twirling your hair. It's just so obnoxious, and it's immature, and it's just takes so. I just, to me, that's how I view it. I've seen her when she is not in full makeup and not with her braid in. I actually like her when she is in kind of a more natural form. And I'm like, this is, to me, how she would look more grown up. Like you said, Jade is a more mature version of Bianca in a way. And Jade got her hair. Jade's hair.
I think it takes away from how talented Bianca is. Like, she is so good. And I don't mind the braid. It's the whipping of the braid. Like,
there you go.
The swinging it. But there was one point, I think, she hit someone with her braid. It was so loud. Like, there was an audible, it sounded so painful.
That, I have to ask you, because every time they've done that, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way it can actually sound like that. They must put a sound effect in. Did that sound like a perfectly timed sound effect? Or did it actually sound, you know what I mean? Because I can't tell.
I think it happened. If that's a sound effect, they give their sound people a raise, because it was so loud. Like, you immediately tensed up, because it was like, oh, that hurt. So if it's a sound effect, props to them. I thought it happened. Like, I thought it legit was like someone was getting a belt whipping. That's what it sounded like.
Okay. No, because this sounds too stereotypical, like a whip. And I'm like, oh my God, how is it possibly that loud? But maybe it is. So either way, I wouldn't want to be hit with it. I mean, I wouldn't. Uh-oh. So Asuka took it pretty well. And obviously they ended up losing the match. Jade gets the victory, and it's the way it should have gone. I mean, obviously this team of Naomi, Jade, and Bianca isn't meant to last. We'll see if it's something that they continue with moving forward. But we all know we're going to get to Jade versus Bianca at some point. That's the match that a lot of us, even when Jade first came in, we're like, ooh, that'd be kind of a cool match. Just based on physical stature, they're very similarly built. So that's going to be a fun match. It's eventually going to happen, but no signs of dissension. Everybody seemed to get along fine. A very kind of a matter-of-fact, established Jade. It was really about Jade here. Bianca continues her winning streak at WrestleMania. She hasn't lost yet, but this was about Jade getting on the map, while Bianca takes a couple steps down here from where she's been at WrestleMania the last couple of years, kind of hidden in this tag team, which is a bit surprising. So any final thoughts here before we get to the IC title?
You know, something I missed live, that, and I think even the people around me missed it too, was the miss from Asuka. Because like, when they were playing the highlights, both the young woman who was sitting next to me, we were like, when did that happen? And so there are some moments live that you generally do miss, and we missed that. Like, we didn't understand when that happened. So that's, you know, those are some of those downsides of, you know, attending live, is you miss some of those moments depending on where you're sitting. Obviously, if you're four side, you can see all those things, or ringside, excuse me. But we missed that. So I hated I missed that. But it was a great match, and I think you're right. I think this is just setting up the next steps for which will eventually be Bianca and Jade.
Absolutely. And Jade is just getting going. She, again, looked pretty good in the ring. I wouldn't say she was outstanding, but she keeps doing these very small sample sizes, quick moments in the Rumble, the hot tag at the end of the match. Like, we haven't seen her yet in a long form, and maybe they don't feel she's ready for one-on-one, which is fine. She has room to improve, but maybe that's why they pivoted. It was going to be Bianca Jade, and they pivoted to a six-woman tag, which is fine. But either way, Jade has got a presence that you can't deny, and she's going to be a massive star. I mean, I bet you at WrestleMania 41, we're talking about Jade perhaps main eventing night one with Bianca or somebody else. It's possible. So, all right, well, let's get to the IC title, as Logan's Paul energy drink was just everywhere, talking about all the time. I mean, I know it's in the middle of the ring, but it's also, there was a stand next to ringside. People were talking about it backstage. Like, it's just, it's almost too much with Prime, yeah. But the Gunther's. Yeah. And I know he paid. It's just, it's overload. But Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. I mean, this was as good as advertised, I think. I think it could have gone a little longer, but still very good, very believable. His wife backstage and at ringside added a sense of humanity to Sami Zayn that I really thought it was needed. Chad Gable giving him one last pep talk before the entrance of Sami was fun. And then you get out there and the match lasts 15 minutes. While Gunther was toying with Sami Zayn at the end, thinking, oh my, like, yeah, Sami Zayn's dead. Sami Zayn ends up hulking up, essentially finding energy from the gods, and ends up hitting three Helluva kicks and 1-2-3 new Intercontinental Champion. The 666 day reign is over. What did you think?
This was one of my favorite matches of the night. I am not like a huge Gunther fan. Like he's phenomenal, but seeing him live, I am now signing me up to be in Imperium. He is so good live. He is a hell of an athlete. He knows how to tell a story in the ring. Every chop you felt, every power bomb, I was like, this is it. There were many moments where I was like, Sami, tap out. Like, this is it. This is done. I didn't expect Sami to win. I didn't see it going in that direction just because of how good Gunther is in the ring. Like, I know, obviously, he's held that belt for this long, but now that I'm like in the fan club, I'm like, I want to see him more. I want to see him more now. I was so surprised at how much I enjoyed watching him in the ring. And he looked great. Like, he looks like he's even toned up even more from, you know, seeing him live, you know, a while ago. He looks great. Him toying with his wife was good. Her emotion and reaction was good. All of the women in my section, you know, once the match ended, they're like, go kiss your wife. we were all like, you know, we kind of made it into like a love story with them. So it was a really good match. I personally also wanted it to be Chad Gable. The crowd was over with Sami, but you definitely heard some like in between the we want Sami, we want Gunther chats also. And I thought that was a shock. But so I'm hoping that the next steps for him moving forward are him going after a bigger title, because he is a force to be reckoned with in the ring. He is so much fun to watch live. I mean, I was very surprised at how much I enjoyed seeing him in action.
He is a one-of-a-kind talent that is just going to continue to get better and better. I think this was a pivot moment for Gunther. The loss really was a promotion for Gunther because, okay, he lost the title, but again, that just means you're being pushed to the next level. It may not happen immediately. There may be some follow-up matches at Backlash and at the following PLE where it's, okay, Chad gets involved. It's maybe a triple threat where Sami retains and then eventually just kind of trims down to just Sami versus Chad. Doesn't mean, again, Gunther doesn't need to immediately inject himself in the world title, but it does mean that this year he is finally going to get to that next level and get to the world title picture and maybe even win, depending on who's champion and of course the you know, what the layout of the land looks like at that point and who, you know, what they want to do heading into next year's WrestleMania. But I think this was a promotion for Gunther. This didn't hurt anyone. It helped everyone. And I'm really looking forward to Chad getting involved, because as we saw a few weeks ago on the Gauntlet match where Sami and Chad were the final two, it was an incredible end to that match where you wanted more and more. So Chad getting involved, which he inevitably will, because he told Sami, you owe me a favor. If anyone caught that, that just means you owe me a title shot. So I think Gunther may want a rematch, but you could have a triple threat at Backlash. And that's going to be, I mean, if you thought this was good, adding Chad Gable is just going to make it that much better.
Yeah, that it makes me excited to see what the next steps are for everyone involved. But it was definitely one of my favorite matches of the night, for sure.
Oh yeah, it made up for the Jimmy J debacle, you know. Like, I will say that. No. All right, well, we get to the main event here now. I gotta ask, how excited was your son to see The Rock? I know at this point it is late in the evening, you're tired, you're cold, you're probably hungry, you're thinking about sleep, but The Rock's entrance hits, he keeps evolving his entrance. How excited were you and your son to see him?
Oh gosh, Matt, let me tell you, it was I'm a crier anyway. Like, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm angry. So all my friends were like, have you cried yet? And I cried at the very beginning of WrestleMania, just for sure fact that, holy crap, I'm here. I teared up a little bit with Triple H because I didn't expect him and I love him so much. When I say I cried like a 12-year-old girl at a Taylor Swift concert when The Rock came out, I mean, it was almost embarrassing. I'm shocked my makeup stayed on. It was like the kind of cry where you make noises, you know, like, oh, okay. Like, wow. My God, oh, I know it's embarrassing, but it was, It was so overwhelming, and I was just so happy to be in the moment. I mean, he was the only reason that I even went to WrestleMania. It was to see him, and that entrance was iconic. It was epic. We were tired. We were cold. It was long. I knew all of the entrances were going to be very long, but it was worth it. It was 1,000% worth it. We were so hyped to see him. And I will say I didn't get to watch SmackDown or the Hall of Fame. So when he came out with the belt, because, you know, this has been a busy weekend, I was confused about what belt it was. And if someone had to explain it to me, I was like, oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But oh, that man, I was so happy. And I was very proud of myself because as catchy as Cody's song is, I did not stand up and scream whoa. A, because I've heard it everywhere this weekend, like at WWE World, they had the entrances that you could do. Every single child picked his entrance. So I was like, I hear this one more time. My eye was twitching. So I did not. And my son was looking. I could tell he was looking at me when that part came on, like waiting to see if I was going to do it. Absolutely not. It was, but seeing The Rock and even Roman's entrance, I had full body chills, and it wasn't just from the cold. I was so, so excited to see both of them, but obviously The Rock brought me to tears.
No, because here's the thing. You probably and may not ever see him live wrestling again. I mean, you may see him tonight. There's a very good chance you'll see him tonight. Almost guaranteed you'll see him tonight, along with a lot of other legends that are rumored to help out Cody Rhodes. So it could be a massively star-studded, nostalgic night for you. If I was to pick one night to go, it would have been tonight. So you are in for, I think, a really fun treat at the end of the show with Roman and Cody in their one-on-one Bloodline Rules match. But seeing The Rock live, I totally get it. Again, you may not ever see him wrestle again in front of you in your lifetime. So, you know, and obviously if you're a wrestling fan from way back when in the Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression, there's a lot of nostalgic feels there. So no, I totally understand that. It's that chills moment. It's that moment that, you know, brings you back to your childhood, what that moment means, what the place you're in. Obviously you have your son with you, so it makes even more fun. Yeah, it all kind of comes together in one big ball of emotion. So it really is. And I totally get it, even though it was, you know, 10:30 at night or whatever it was by the time they got to it, which I was actually wondering, are the entrances collectively going to be longer than the match itself? Because
I was wondering the same thing, because I was looking at my clock. I was like, what time does this have to end? Like, what time is the show supposed to end? Because these entrances were taking forever. Does this mean the match is going to be short? Like that was my fear, but it was not. There was definitely a long match. I will say that, like, the moments of them just staring at each other, like, we all did our holy S moments, but then it kept going, and we were very much like, let's go, boys. Like, yeah. Let's get this show on the road. We are ready to see you guys wrestle. Come on.
I agree. I'm just sitting there, and the beginning of the match was kind of criticized by fans online, and I get it, because there was like, okay, can we start a little bit going? I know it's not going to be a cruiserweight match. I'm not expecting 100 miles an hour, but there was a little bit too much kind of pomp and circumstance and standoffs and stare downs. Like, I get it. I understand the theatrics of it, but like at some point you got to just either crap or get off the pot. Like, let's go here. You know, like, you know what I mean? And I was kind of waiting for it. It was frustrating at times, but once they got going, obviously I think they performed very well. The Rock stumbled hilariously. I don't know if you saw that. He tripped up on, he was trying to go for a sharpshooter or something on Cody Rhodes, and he slipped and trapped and hit his head in the bottom turnbuckle in the corner.
Yes. I was wondering what happened. I was like, what happened? Like, I saw it, you know, it happened so fast, and I was like, what happened? Yeah. Was that on purpose?
No, he tripped. He tripped, and then he no-sold it and just kept going on, and the announcers didn't know what to do. They just moved on. It was clearly a slip-up. If someone doesn't make that a gif, I mean, you're missing out. It is one of the funniest trip-ups. You have to watch it back. It's really funny. But outside of that, I mean, The Rock did an amazing job, I think, overall. The psychology, the pacing, once the match got going was fun. The attack on Seth Rollins' leg is a perfect, bridge into tonight's match with Drew. Yes. I loved the rest of the match once it got going. And I think that false finish that I believed in, I bought in, was when Roman speared The Rock. Everyone goes, oh my God. And I didn't see that coming. And The Rock sold it like $1 million. And then they both hit simultaneous pedigrees. Did you think that was it?
I thought that was it. And when I say my stomach dropped, I was like, that's it. They are going to have my man go out like this. Like, I was like, I thought that was it. So I was very shocked that it wasn't, because they sold it very well.
It was a perfect sell. The crowd seemed to buy in too. You guys were chanting along and just 1, 2. And then, you know, everyone said 3 and they both kicked out. But it was, that was a great moment. I think that really overall, it was a well laid out match. The People's Elbow, the Rock Bottom, the Cody Cutters, although the Cody Cutters, for some reason, Cody could not actually hit it well on Roman Reigns last night. There was a couple of botches there.
I was going to ask, because, you know, seeing it live, I was like, I couldn't tell if it was a botch or not. I was like, why does that look weird?
Twice.
I kept thinking, this looks weird.
Yeah, he didn't hit it well. And he actually broke Roman's nose on one of them.
Roman and his reaction to that was like, oh, he's about to be in beast mode.
Yeah.
Like, it was, that move, and I know, you know, you've criticized it before. It looks bad. It looks bad. Like, it's just not good. And Cody.
I'd actually take that move as his finish rather than the Crossroads. I would actually take that, because the Crossroads is in full speed, it looks like Cody's taking the bump, not his opponent. It's a bad move. I don't like the Crossroads. It doesn't look good. I'd rather take the Cody Cutter. But for some reason, Roman just could not, or Cody, I don't know who's really responsible. To me, it didn't hurt the match. It was just a worthy note to mention, is just like they screwed it up twice. But fine. I mean, the match wasn't hurt by it. Having those two win, having Rock and Roman win, was, I think, the right move, because now it stacks the deck even greater against Cody Rhodes. Now Seth Rollins could be nursing an injury going into the match tonight with Drew McIntyre. I think it's a much more fun match. Yes, it could be overbooked with too many people coming out to help, Cena, Austin, whoever. But if you know that going in, doesn't it make it more fun that it could be just chaotic, and it could be a really fun, wild last 5 minutes of that match that you know is probably coming? So I think that, you know, ultimately, were you disappointed in the Rock and Roman winning? Were you expecting it? Like, how do you feel about the end?
Oh, no, I was expecting it 100%. What I was shocked about with the match was how much of it didn't take place in the ring. Like, how much, you know, with the tables and going into the crowd, I kept thinking someone's going to get hurt and we have our main eventers right here. I was nervous about that. Cody, you know, rock bottoming the Rock into the table. I was anxious that someone was really going to get hurt and how that was going to impact night two. So I was shocked by that, but I expected it. I mean, I honestly thought it was over when they did the double pedigrees. I thought that was a wrap. I think I was a little shocked by the ending being, you know, the Rock Bottom and the People's Elbow. I thought he was going to, I didn't think that would be, you know, the 1, 2, 3. And I guess maybe it's because, like, in this day and age, finishers are used over and over and over again, that I guess I didn't expect that to be the end. But I'm hyped for tonight. I think it's going to be even better. I think it's going to be 1,000 times better than night one. I hope the crowd is better. It's apparently not supposed to be as cold. We'll see with the wind. I think it's the wind that makes a big difference. But this match, I was not disappointed at all. Once it got going, this match exceeded all of my expectations. I can't wait to watch it back and see if there's anything that I missed since, you know, when they separated, when it was the Rock and Seth in the crowd and then Roman and Cody up the ramp. It was like, where do I look? where are my eyes going? So I want to look back and see what I missed. But this exceeded all my expectations, and I was definitely huge check off the bucket list. Like you said, I think part of my big emotion was knowing this will probably be the last time I see The Rock in the ring, which is one reason why I've spent the money I spent to see him and to have that moment. So I was not disappointed in this match.
No. And no one can ever take that away from you. Yes, it's money, it's time, the hotel, crowds, obviously all that. But it's a moment that you will take with you forever. And it's a moment, like you say, you probably won't be able to get back. The Rock wrestling more matches after this year is not likely. Yeah, he's sure, maybe he'll do WrestleMania 41 with Roman Reigns, which is what everyone expects to happen. But again, getting to WrestleMania, at that point, you'll have to get a flight. You'll have to get all these things, all these logistics that for most people are not plausible 2 years in a row. Yeah, you're going to be able to take this with you forever. And yes, this match also was 45 minutes. I don't know if anyone timed it. It was 45 minutes long. It was,
I guess, in the moment, insane. It didn't feel like it was that long. Like, I looked down at my, once it ended, I looked down and saw what time it was. And I was like, holy crap, in the moment, it didn't feel like it was that long of a match. The pacing was just perfect.
Yes.
The timing of it was perfect. They did a really good job there. And it didn't feel like it was that long for me anyway.
Well, I'm looking at the weather report tonight, and it's going to be 59 degrees, almost 60 degrees today. But by the time the matches start, it'll be in the mid 50s. I'm trying to find out what the wind's going to be, because that is really what everyone was complaining about. So it'll be about 5 degrees warmer. Let me look at the wind here. So by the time the actual event starts at 7, it's going to be 57 degrees with a north wind at 7, where you guys, it was like 15 or 20 miles an hour. So the wind should be lighter and it's a few degrees warmer. So that should lend itself to people being a little more vocal tonight, and especially they know so. It's the final night. Yeah.
I will be. No one else around me.
No, just go for broke. I don't know. Maybe put a drink or two in you, or just not give an F and just go out there. And you can't. You gotta, because you'll regret having this. You know, kind of compile your emotions internally, and you're like, oh, I wanted to just say or do something. Anyway, heading into tonight, one last question: what are you most looking forward to?
I'm most looking forward to, I have a feeling Cody's going to finish his story, which is fine, but I am most looking forward to seeing what possible surprises, what possible interferences we have with that match. That is the match that I'm probably most excited for. So I cannot wait. Yeah. I do think Cody's going to finish his story. I think Cody's going to win just based on how last night went. I hope that, because I do, all the criticism with Roman, and I even criticize how long this reign has been. Roman has, it's been a hell of a reign. Even though we don't see him as often as we definitely need to. I hope that when he loses, that he does get the ovation he deserves, because he has definitely pushed the company into, a realm, with him being the tribal chief. I'm going to acknowledge my tribal chief tonight, even when he loses, because I am proud to be a Roman Reigns fan and be part, I consider myself part of the bloodline as well. So I'm excited, and I hope the Cody Crybabies are freaking happy once this is over.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Well, so you're an honorary ooze. You're making yourself a self-appointed honorary ooze. You're right. With the Cody Crybabies there, I agree. Like, fine. It is, I think, the right move to just take the belt off of Roman. Even though I don't like Cody's character, I would secede to the fact that the booking decision is more important than my personal feelings on Cody Rhodes' babyface character. But I would also say, be careful what you wish for with Cody, because he wins. Okay. The problem is, then what? What do you do with him? How do you continue the momentum? And that's not easy to do. But we'll see. And I would agree. The one thing that I'm going to be really jealous of and really wishing I was there was, because it's heavily believed that Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be there. You talk about a pop of pops, and everyone's expecting. I'm telling you, it's I would be shocked if he's not there. Many people believe he's going to come out, hit the Rock with a stunner. If that happens, which is, I think, likely, I'm going to die. I'm going to sit at home. So that will
die.
That right there is the price of admission. I mean, it is. So I would have paid just to come in, watch that 5 minutes, pay the hotel, pay the ticket, and then have to be like, no, you got to go. Okay, you had your 5 minutes. Like, that to me would have been worth it, because that is something. And they are actually, I know you didn't see, obviously, you were in person. You didn't hear Michael Cole. He kind of hinted towards that last night, because during the match with The Rock and tag team match, he said that, The Rock has performed in Philadelphia at WrestleMania before. He said it was at WrestleMania 15 against Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I'm like, oh, he goes, yeah, a quarter century ago. And I'm like, okay, so 25 years ago, The Rock and Austin faced each other at WrestleMania 15. So wouldn't it be very apropos that 25 years later, these two are still meeting each other at WrestleMania? I mean, to me, so everything's lining up for that. I'll be very disappointed if that doesn't happen, but it seems like you could have you talk about a memorable night. You could be in for one for the ages.
Oh, I hope so. Really do hope so.
Man. All right. Well, any final thoughts or comments on night one?
No, I think it exceeded my expectations. It was definitely a moment of a lifetime. I'm going to remember this, this moment forever. It was just so amazing. So I'm so fortunate that I was able to go and attend, and I cannot wait for night two. And I'm on X now, Matt. You've inspired me. I've not been an X person, and I was like, I feel like I need to get on X. Matt always talks about this, and who's tweeting at him and who's talking trash about him. So I want to see this for myself.
It gets pretty heated.
I'm like, do I want to be on here now? you know, 6 followers, 5 of which are bots, and 1 is my husband. So you guys can follow me on X if you want to.
There you go.
KRISY1S Thomas.
There you go. Okay. Well, no, I'll send you a follow. Everyone else, please give Chrissy a follow. I think she'd enjoy more than bots. Because when you first sign up, yeah, you've just got people that are, yeah, just clearly not real people that have, yeah, I know. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Chrissy, thanks so much. And listen, I am jealous. If I hear that glass crash, I'm going to be sitting in my bedroom while you're there live, and I'm going to be just lamenting the fact I didn't go. But I think you're going to have an amazing night. I'm very jealous. Stay warm. Okay. Stay warm and be loud.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Enjoy.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.